Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Play game.
You are listening to KBOO Community Radio, and this is Winner's Bias, America's first, best, and only live board game radio show.
Until proven otherwise.
A show about board games and collecting milestones. I'm your host, Nate, and with me is my buddy, James. How are you doing, James?
I am doing hot.
You're doing hot?
Oh, it's hot out there, and I am feeling it.
You're feeling it? Well, we're in here right now, and we're actually in a different room today. I'd like to
It's making me nervous.
It's a different experience, but I'd like to thank Golden, our engineer, who's in there rocking it. We are celebrating our 1 year anniversary with a supersized 1 hour episode of Winner's Bias. Can we sustain this, James?
I have no idea. Every time we do a half an hour, we're like, we tell all our guests, it goes so quick. Half an hour goes so quick. I'm worried we're going to get to 35 minutes and we'll be out. We'll be like, oh, that's all.
Yeah, it might just turn into a DJ set.
Yeah,
we're just
going
to be playing a whole bunch of stuff.
It's like, what, we'll take requests. What music do you want?
You can still comment on our show using the OLARC messaging system. Just go to kboo.fm and click on the chat with us button in the lower right corner of the window. But today, the reason Golden is in there is we're going to try to take live phone calls. We're not going to start out the show with that, so I'm not going to give the phone number quite yet, but we will be putting it out there for you to call into the show. And so we'll try to give you some prompts. Did I write the prompts down? I don't know. Oh, yeah, I did. They're a little bit later. But you can start thinking about them. Things like, how did you get into the hobby? What are you looking for in a board game experience? Tell us about your favorite games. Stuff like that.
If your friend ever threw you into the deep with a game.
Yeah. Tell us about your bad experiences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those would be good. So we're going to just hit the ball running. We're going to hit the ball running.
Hit the run in the ball.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the theme of the episode, which is James rates Nate's fave games. So basically, James was a real trooper over the past, we kind of decided this pretty late in the game.
I feel like I played like 3 or 4 of your games before we like decided it.
Yeah.
So I was like halfway through.
Yeah. And so we noticed like James had played a lot of my favorite games, which makes sense. And then I said, hey, you know what? Our 1 year anniversary is coming up. So let's have James just play all of my favorite games and then can tear them apart or exalt them the way they deserve to be exalted.
I feel like I'm going to tear apart more of your favorite games than you would like.
It is possible.
I think we're two different. We like two different genre games, it seems like.
You didn't hate them all.
I didn't hate them. I didn't hate any of them. Hate is a strong word.
Well, you know, we deal with strong emotions here. You didn't hate any of them, but you did win most of them.
I did win most of them, especially the ones that I turned that I wasn't the biggest fan of. I still won them.
Yeah.
Because I am a trooper, as you said.
Yeah. So unlike most, board game top 10, we're going to go through all top 10 and through the whole thing. I'm just going to give you my top 10 at the start of the show. Then we're going to talk about sort of James, journey and playing. I had some questions for James. James might have some questions for me. I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to say how much work James puts into the show ahead of time.
Into any work. I'm the worst. Which you learn when we were playing games. Which we
It's
talk
true.
About.
You're just like, I don't want to know anything about anything. So my top 10 games, and we'll go into them in more detail. Should I go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10? 10 to 1. So for number 10, we have Food Chain Magnate, a game about running fast food restaurants. What could be better? Number 9 is El Grande, a game about having control in regions of Spain.
A lot of your favorite games are having control of somewhere.
I mean, isn't winning about having control?
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, I take that back. You're right.
Skull King is a trick-taking game trick-taking is so weird to describe, but basically think Bridge, Pinochle, Hearts, those are all trick-taking games. James is dropping stuff on the floor. Nana, a game described to me as a stupid game for babies, which is kind of a mix of Memory and Go Fish, and it's amazing. We've talked about it before.
You keep saying stupid game for babies. Is that in like a nice way or is that in like a mean way?
It's a nice way. Okay. It's like totally affectionate. Station Fall, a game about the last minutes, like 13 minutes of a space station, and you're all trying to get off, maybe. Some people aren't. some people are trying to make bad things happen on the ship before the really bad things happen. Concordia, a game about building towns, I don't even know, trading posts through various, depending on the map, European areas, and you know, it's honestly much like a lot of board game games. There's a bit of colonialism in it, and it kind of makes you a little uncomfortable, and that's a much larger discussion.
I mean, I'm English, so I've lived that.
Yeah, but the game itself is solid. The theme, not so solid. Cosmic Encounter, a game of shifting alliances taking place with alien races. It's well, obviously, it's great. So we're at number three, Hansi Teutonica, a game about tradesmen moving across Germany. There's definitely some, they call them Beigeuros on this list.
Beigeuros.
El Grande, Concordia, Hansi Teutonica, but they're so good. Barrage, a game about making dams and generating hydroelectric power.
Which is a very beige topic.
Yeah, but the game is nothing beige about it. And then the number one game is Blood on the Clock Tower. James and I have talked about this before. It's both of our favorite games.
Well, yeah, we will talk about it probably today and probably many more times. Yeah. I think it's up there.
We'll probably do a whole show about it. So that's my top 10. It's really, it's the best top 10. So yeah, sorry, I'm not used to this over here, and Golden just said something into the headphones and I missed it, and so we're just gonna roll with it, and if Golden wants to repeat that again, then that's really great. Oh, and Golden would like to join in on the conversation, so Golden, go right ahead.
I was just gonna say, I've never heard of any of those games. I'm really curious about all of them now. I loved your descriptions.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. Yeah, we'll definitely talk a little bit more about what they are involved with, but I think that's one of the reasons that we started this show.
Yes.
Is because there are so many games out there with so many themes, and you know, it's more than Monopoly, more than Clue,
and you don't
or
know
Cluedo
about them.
For you.
Is that what it's called in England? No, it's called Clue, isn't it?
No, it's Cluedo in England.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. But you don't know about any of these games unless you get thrown into the hobby. You're like, I didn't realize there were this many beige games that could be made out there.
Sorry, I laughed right into the mic. I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to lean away, but
you've given me you that they're called beige, so I'm just gonna keep bringing it up now. It's moving it to an insult.
Yeah. So, James.
Yes.
How are you feeling now that you've been tossed into so many different games? Are you feeling more comfortable when you sit down at the table? Are you learning what you like in games?
I feel like I should be more comfortable, but then I feel that like after I got through the first couple of like hard games, and like I saw them on the table and you read me the rules, I'm like, okay, I feel like I might have gone over that hump, but then I'd come back and there'd be another game on the table, and I'll be sitting there listening to the rules and I'd be like, I've done this to myself again, and then I'm stressing, and I don't feel I'm ever gonna, especially with the games that turns out are not my preferred. It is stressful and it is hard and it is worrying to get into those games.
And admittedly, you do that a little bit to yourself because you don't do any preparation ahead of time.
That, but as you said when I came in to play in Cosmic Encounters, which was the last game I played on this list of yours, and we brought in another new person ever played, and he was like, oh, I looked up some of it, and I was like, I haven't looked up anything, I know nothing, and you're like, well, that's your MO.
Yeah, that is me.
I love surprises, and like learning like anything about the game is a surprise.
Yeah, and it's also like it shouldn't be a prerequisite for you to engage with a hobby to have to be like doing research ahead of time. Like you should be able just to show up and be like, yeah, no, I'm ready to learn. But you have to have the willingness to learn.
I think that's it. Especially that's all you need for games is your. I mean, hopefully someone who's good at teaching, which I've said many times, I'll say again, you are very good at teaching, and on your side, a willingness to learn from them and at least partially listen. Because I feel like I learn better through playing, but you still need the tidbits from how to play before you can play.
Yeah, there's definitely the line of thought, like, no, we'll learn as we go. And it's like, well, there's some things that you need to know.
Otherwise,
first.
You'll be stuck on your turn for 20 minutes.
But, like, Station Fall is a good example of one that, like, everyone talks about how it's a minimum hour-long teach. Like, to learn how to play the game, they're like, it's an hour long. And I don't teach it that way. I'm just like, no, we're going to learn this one as we go. And I give you the basics in about 15 minutes. And then we're just like, if you want to do something, you can do it. We just need to figure out how.
And you said that to me. But then that's what you get told about, like, tabletop RPGs like D&D. Like, if you want to do something, you can do it. And it's very different doing that in, like, an RPG like Dungeons & Dragons and then doing that on a board game where you're like, well, no, I can't do whatever I want because I'm... It's a board game. There's still, like,
there's parameters. Yeah. You have to figure your way through the thing. But, like, because you've been given, like, the core of the game, you can start to piece together how to do it. So what are you learning about what you like in a game or what you're looking for in a game?
So this is the stuff I probably should have written down. I was like, in my head, I was like, I know what I like. And now you've asked it to me. I'm like, I don't know what I like anymore. I like the aspect of random, I've learned. I liked where even if you've played the game many, many times, you cannot have, like, too much of a heads up game, because it's like cards or dice, or there's some random, like, you flip over cards, there's some random aspect in it which can make every game different and every game random that you can't. Unless you're counting cards, which I guess you could do in some games.
I couldn't, no. Yeah, I could not.
When I said you, I didn't mean you. Like, I know
someone.
You can't. But yeah, I like those kind of games. When I go through my version of your list, you will figure out that, yes, I prefer the random games. That, and also games that you can have more conversation above the table, where it is more, like, it's more of, like, the game is to have fun and to, like, it's there while you chat and make fun of each other and communicate.
And I know we'll differ on this because there are certain games that we've played that you felt were very much like what they call heads down, where you're just, like, absorbed in your puzzle and you don't really have time to, like, think about the above the table interaction with your players. But I feel that with all of the games on my top 10, even the really heavy involved puzzly ones, once you get to know them a little better, the above the table thing really comes through because they are all higher conflict. I personally don't tend to what they call multiplayer solitaire, where everyone is doing their own little puzzle. The actions have very little effect on what other players do, and you're all just sort of building up, you know, your little engine or whatever you're doing. Most of the games I like are games where you are going to get in each other's way, not in, like, a typically directed, like, gotcha way where I play a card and it destroys everything you've built for the past 30 minutes, but in a way that's just like, oh, the ramifications of this are, like, now I'm stealing your water and you have to build infrastructure to get new water. This is a reference to Barrage, and like that sort of thing where it's like, all right, now we're now we're button heads.
I will agree that is, I feel like in at least all your games that is there. But that's like a double-sided coin, where once again, if you're good at the game and you've played the game so many times, you know how to do that and, like, not ruin someone's game, but, like, get in their way more.
Yeah.
And it makes it harder for new people because they're like, well, now you've just turned the tables on me and I have to do something completely different.
Yeah, and that's why, like, some games have variable player powers or... with asymmetric player powers. And so when we played a game that's not on the list, Voyages of Marco Polo, you had a player power that was very strong, and me and our friend Brian had weaker player powers. But when you have someone who's never played a game before, you can give them the stronger player power, and they can feel like they are in the game, and actually you wound up winning that game.
Yeah, and I feel like I kind of enjoyed Marco Polo. It wasn't the worst. It was, like, in the middle, because I actually thought it was in the top 10, so I wrote a list with that in there, and it was in the middle.
Before we were on the air, James was saying he couldn't remember it in the least.
No, I don't. So I'm like, sorry, I didn't remember it bad, But I didn't. So I'm like, that's like a middle game. I was like, I can't remember it. So it couldn't have been too bad.
All right, we're going to do a quick reset here. So you're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate here with James. And this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby. We're celebrating 1 year on the air with a 1 hour special where James is going to tear apart all of the games I love. Probably not tear it apart because James is a nice guy.
I'm a lovely man.
We're going to open up to phone calls if people want to call in. The phone number to call the air room is 503-231-8187. So, Golden, get ready for the deluge here. And again, some prompts on, like, what we'd like to hear from you. You can comment on anything we're talking about, obviously. But how did you get in the hobby? What are you looking for in a board game experience? Have you ever had bad board game experiences?
If you've played any of the games we mentioned in your top 10 and how you found them.
Yeah, what you thought of the games. What you thought of Nate's fave games.
Yeah.
It doesn't just have to be Nate's fave games. That's 503-231-8187 if you would like to call in. Also, we are accepting chats on our OLARC messaging system on kbu.fm. All right, James, so let's get into it. Where would you like to start here?
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Because I actually prepared something. So, you, like you said, you had all this top 10 list of games that you were going to show me and make me play. Were you ever worried about me playing them? Were you ever like, I hope he likes this game, or I hope he doesn't like trash this one, or I hope he enjoys, or whatever?
No.
Was there ever a slight thing in you being like, I hope he doesn't like... hate all my top games, or are you just like, I don't care what James thinks?
No, because I'm an inherently selfish person, and I was just excited that I got to play some of my favorite games, and like, I knew there was, for many of them, I knew there was a high chance you were gonna enjoy them. Like, I thought Station Fall you would think would be really interesting. I thought Cosmic Encounter you would think would be interesting at the very least. I knew Skull King and Nana, because they're smaller, quicker games that you would connect with those more.
The ones like Concordia and Barrage and Hansa Tectonica, were you worried about those?
Not really, because, you know, I engage with enough board game media to know that things are divisive no matter what. Like, there's a whole world of people out there who don't think Concordia is as good as I do, even though like the consensus is pretty darn good.
So what you're telling is people out there make your friends play all your games and don't care how they will feel about it.
Well, no, I would say if you have a friend who's a co-host of a radio show,
because this is the only one you're
allowed. Don't do it. Like, you can do a podcast, but not live radio. You can do it. This is for science, and so I get to get away with it.
So we are scientists.
We're scientists, yeah. I mean, we have the glasses for it.
We do.
I was never worried, but also because, for me, board gaming is about hanging out with your friends. And you're my friend.
Yay.
And we got together with other friends of ours. And so I know that you found that you liked playing with our friend Brian the best.
I did, because, like, I felt like we had a good back and forth we can make fun of. Sometimes he got a little bit mean and hurt my feelings. But we had a good back and forth, and I got to make fun of him a lot, and he made fun of me, and we got to get into each other's ways during the game sometimes for no reason apart from pettiness. And that kind of brought out the fun for me a little bit.
Yeah, so, like, it's just a way to just have a good time with your friends. And so I just knew, at the very least, we'd be hanging out for a couple hours on the bigger games. And, you know, you might not be loving the game, but I had faith that you would enjoy the time.
Enjoy the experience as a whole. Which is true, yeah. I mean, I don't think I would have done this otherwise. It would have been more of a work, less of a, like, a fun hobby if I was like, well, I have to go play one of Nate's faves games again. There's 4 hours out of my evening.
Only one of them, I think, took around 4 hours.
What was that one?
I think that was Food Chain Magnate.
I mean, technically, Blood on the Clock Tower can take, like...
Oh, we've been playing Blood on the Clock Tower for almost 3 years now.
Yeah.
And some games, only two or three of them have lasted 4 hours.
And, like, some of them are, like, 10 minutes, because we get it done quickly, and we're
Or I screw up as a storyteller. Yeah. But I think maybe we should get into, like, some games and describe them a little bit more, so people aren't like, they keep saying this game, and I don't understand what a storyteller is.
I'll let you pick a game. Do you want to start at the... Do you just want to go random? Do you want to start at the bottom? Do you want to start at the top? Just throw a game at me.
All right, let's go with... We'll start with Nana.
Nana.
Yeah.
The stupid game for little babies.
Yeah, and which is known as Trio for its American release. Nana is its Japanese release. It's just a game about trying to find sets of three cards. The first person to find three sets of three cards wins. If you find two sets of three cards that add up or subtract to seven, you win. Or if you collect all three sevens, you win. Nana is Japanese for seven.
It's like a Go Fish crossed a memory game.
Yeah, and it gets better the more you play in a row. So you start conflating different games with it. You're like, oh, was it that round or that round that number was there when you're trying to find it out on the board or out on the table?
I mean, I have terrible memory. It's not the best. It's not good memory, but I enjoyed this game. It was a fun... It had the aspect of random. Anyone could have any of the cards. We played with four people, I think.
Yeah.
Four or five. Anyone could have any of the cards. You had the cards on the table. I really enjoyed this game. I think it also helped. Before we played this one, we had a different card game we was playing, Skull King, which we'll get to later, but I enjoyed that one. So I came off that game...
You were riding a high.
Riding high. Yeah. So I ran into this in the high end. I think I lost every game in Nana. I don't think I won any.
Yeah.
And I still loved it. It was still a fun, quick game. Quick is like, yeah, you could just bring it out any time as well. Just like, oh, we have a quick 10 minutes. You could probably bash out a Nana game.
Yeah. Well, the rules fit on the front and back of a standard playing card. You can make it with a standard deck of cards.
Yep.
Our news director, who is on sabbatical right now, Althea, went back east and stayed up to 1 a.m. playing it with friends back east, just based on the picture of the card that I sent to her, and they had a great time. So yeah, Nana's not particularly deep or heavy. The games are 5 to 10 minutes long.
Cards are fun to look at.
The cards in the Nana version, they're adorable with cute little animals. In my family, we call the rams yams because my older sister misspoke once and called the ram a yam. And so now it's just
never limit down.
Now it's just a family thing. So the number five, it's the number five card that's the yam. And so fives are yams and rams are yams. And it's just an eternal thing. It's kind of like how my mom said don't have a cow when she was a kid and got cow gifts the rest of her life. There's going to be rams passed around in my family for probably the rest of our lives. All right, so you like Nana.
I like Nana. Good. Do you want me to... wait until the end?
No, we'll wait until the end. So, okay. All right, so but that's one that you liked.
I did.
So
I enjoyed, yeah.
I didn't ruin your life.
You didn't ruin my life with that quick game.
So let's jump to El Grande, which I think, aside from Blood on the Clock Tower, was the first of my favorite games that you played.
Yes. I remember really enjoying El Grande.
Okay. Well, we'll describe El Grande real quick first. It's a game where you've got all these figures that you're putting out onto a map of regions of Spain, and whoever has the most figures in a region will eventually score points for those regions. It takes place over 9 rounds. Every 3 rounds, you score points. And there's various cards that change what you can do and get additional scoring, put more people out, move people away. But you're trying to have the most of your, I think they're caballeros is what they are. But most of your Spanish little meeples on the board in a region, and you score points for it.
See, I don't remember there being cards. I don't remember much of it because it was like a year ago. I remember enjoying it, and I remember enjoying the little tower
Of
the game, which like there's like a hidden area where it's like a huge tower and you've just put your people in there randomly, and then you've got to try and remember how many people are in there of yours, how many people of each of everyone else's are in there to see if you could
to see if you win the scoring for that, to see if you need to put more in.
So there was aspects of random to that game, which was probably why I enjoyed it, because I was like, looking back, I was like, this is just it feels like a beige...
Oh, it's very beige. Beige, yeah, and this was the game, new edition.
I really enjoyed it, and I loved it.
Yeah. There's cards that change every round. There's 5 cards that you choose from, and we played with 5 people. So we all chose a card every round, and it's funny. You don't remember any cards at all.
I don't remember any cards.
I mostly just... I remember that you... beat me, but I think I got last, and I think you just, but you beat me, and you were just happy to have beat me.
That does sound like me.
El Grande is a game. It's one of my favorites, but I never win it. And Golden would like to chime in real quick.
Tell me, what are you two's favorite, like, do you rent games? How are you getting access to all these games? And what are your favorite, like, game stores?
I don't know if we can answer the favorite game stores.
I don't think I've been to enough. I know that most of my gaming things is through Nate. So yeah. All the games I've played and accessed, they're all Nate's, but his game library.
We have interviewed a few of the board game store owners and have a couple coming up. They're all awesome people. So, like, Cloudcap, Guardian, Puddletown, Board Bard, Portland Game Store. Like, Portland has a million game stores. And I'm kind of the board game collector, and I just... So everyone who is involved with my one group of friends, they just kind of play what I have. But then...
Get made to play your games. Yeah. Just play what I want.
But...
I say.
But, you know, you can get... There's meetup groups where you can go out and play. There was a At the Core. The meetup at House on the Hill.
Beaverton?
In Beaverton, yeah. There's meetups where you can play with people. All the board game stores run board game nights where you can just show up and play, and they've got great communities. But yeah, you really just need one person in your life who's obsessed like me, and then you kind of have access to 100 games.
Yeah. Or another person who's intrigued enough to go with you to play the games if you don't want to do it yourself.
El Grande... let's move on. So we'll stick with beige. We'll do Hansa Teutonica, because in my mind, El Grande and Hansa Teutonica, they're sort of the same weight and the same sort of, like, you look at it and you're like, this just seems boring and this seems like there's nothing going on here.
You know what? It kind of was. It might have just been because I played with you, your wife, and your mom and dad, who all of you have played this game many, many times. You all like this game. You all enjoy playing it. So you all knew what you had to do. You all knew where you had to go to get the big things. And I was like, didn't know what to do the whole way through. I felt like I was stumbling through it, just trying my best. My favorite part of it, though, was when you got super angry, which I have to bring up with this game because it was amazing.
I was going
to
bring it up. So first of all, Hansa Teutonica is a game, like, literally, it's a map of Germany, and you just have little cubes and a couple little discs, and you're putting them on routes between cities. Then you claim the routes, and that's basically the game. Yeah. And it seems like absolutely nothing.
I will say it's a light table space. It doesn't look very, like, overshadowing.
Yeah, no, it's very, you could play it almost anywhere. It's not sprawling. It's interesting. You're the first person that I've shared it with that was not, like, kind of taken with it, because it really is combative, because you're always trying to block people's ability to claim a route. So you put your cube in the way, and then they have to put cubes out to kick you off, and then you get to put extra cubes on the board. And I know it sounds so boring, but it's so good.
If you ask me.
And you were saying, like, everybody knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But clearly they didn't, because my wife was at a spot to get an extra action, and there was an open slot there that I had left open, and because I had something else to do, and I'm like, oh, there's three other people who can put something in that spot to make it inconvenient her to claim her extra action. And extra actions in the game are huge. And James went, didn't happen. That's fine. James, new to the game. That's fine. My mom goes, doesn't happen. My dad goes, doesn't happen. And then she just got to do it for free. I was up at Puddletown the next day talking with Miles, and we had been talking about Hansa Teutonica, and I explained the situation to him, and he was flabbergasted. He was like, how could they do that? You lost the chance to go three, put extra pieces on the board. It was It was crazy.
But you also have to take some, like, that was your fault. You were moved from that spot because you were being selfish and was like, no, I want to do my own thing. So you let your wife do it and entrust and assumed we would know.
I did trust that other people would want to capitalize on the boon I left them.
I was booning somewhere else.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a game that the first time my parents played, they saw it on the table, like, oh my gosh, this doesn't look like anything. And they played it and they really liked it, and then we played it twice that time that they visited and they really liked it. So it's a shame that you didn't connect with it, but maybe it's because Brian wasn't there.
Maybe
like we'll have to play again with Brian.
Or I needed one person there who was on my same level.
Or maybe we need to play on a different map that we're not all familiar with, like the England map.
Oh yeah,
make you feel at home. We're gonna do a quick reset. So you are listening to 90.7. KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate here with James, and this is Winner's Bias, a show about the board gaming hobby, and James is rating Nate's fave games. So we are still open to calls. Oh, I've read the wrong one. I was like too far. But we're still celebrating 1 year, and that's okay. We're still open to calls, 503-231-8187, if you would like to call in.
Please do.
Share with us anything about how you got in the hobby, what you like in board games, what bad board game experiences, thoughts about the games we're talking about. All right, so let's jump real quick to we'll go to Skull King. We'll buy that. Skull King, trick taking game, dealt hands of cards. It's chaos in a box.
I think this was my first trick taking game. Because you kept talking about it in a bunch of interviews, and you would explain it to me, because I'd always bring it up, and I never understood what you meant.
Yeah.
And I played it, and I think I like trick-taking games. I think those are, like, up there for me now.
Well, I have a bunch, so we can play more. But in this one, it's a real nice trick-taking game to get people into, because in the first round, you're dealt one card, so you have no choice to make. You just play that card. And then whoever wins that trick wins that trick.
See how it goes.
In the second round, you're dealt two cards. Third round, three rounds. All the way up to 10 cards for the 10th round.
So you get slowly eased into it.
Yeah. And you're bidding on the tricks. So you're going, yo, ho, ho. And you stick a finger out for how many tricks you think you're going to take based on like the powerful card that you have in your hand or the weak cards you have in your hand. And then you score based on how if you get the trick total right, you will score. And
so you want to try and lose some and try and win some to get the bet right.
If anyone watched the most recent season of Only Murders in the Building, they play Oh Hell in that, and Skull King is a version of Oh Hell. It's just got special powers involved in it. Golden.
Is it like, when you're talking, it makes me think of Spades and Tonk, which I grew up playing, and you bid. Do you bid in Spades? You would bid. There's kind of strategy in the sense that, like, maybe you'll take tricks in a way that you bet in a way that kind of throws your opponents off. So you're trying to like set them or make them mess up their bid. Is that aspect of present in that game?
You definitely want to try to mess up them getting their bids because they won't score points. The thing about Skull King specifically is it's a simultaneous bid. So you don't know how much anyone is bidding. So you stick your fingers out and you'll like maybe there's five tricks to take because we all have five cards in our hand. And there's seven fingers pointing out there. And you're like, well, we can't all get our bids on this one. And so, yeah, there's a lot of chaos involved in that. And the simultaneous bid is, I think, like the really great thing about this because you can't try to be strategic.
No.
About what's going on because there's cards that are just going to screw you up. There's a Skull King card that just wins every trick unless a mermaid's played and then the mermaid takes the Skull King and you can never be 100% sure that you're going to win the tricks.
And it's very fitting that Althea isn't here because I destroyed her a couple of times in the game, not on purpose, but very meanly. Like she was like, I ruined her bet because I just...
Well, I mean,
kept coming out with good cards.
You are known to be mean. So, what did you think of Skull King?
I really enjoyed it. Like I said, this was a game we played before Nana. So, like I said, I came with this game riding high. I think I run Skull King at the end of it as well. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was a fun game. The cards, it was the random, it was the above table talk while we were doing it. It was just the laughs we were all having, even when you like didn't win the hand, we were all still laughing and having fun.
Yes.
It was lovely. It was perfect.
It's a high on fun game. The first time I played it the previous year, it like immediately went on my top 50 list. And I played it like at the end of that year. And then it just
keeps rising.
It erupted up my standings. All right, how about let's go with Food Chain Magnate. James, Food Chain Magnate, being the runner of a fast food empire.
Yes. It was all right. I feel like it's very much on like this was another one that I remember playing. I had to look at the pictures again because I take pictures of everything. I should be posting them, I don't. But I look at the pictures.
Yeah, if you've gone to our Instagram and been like, they keep talking about it, that's James' fault.
That is my fault. But, you know, after this year, it's our 1 year, I'll post more. I put it out there. But
a New Year's resolution.
Yeah, my 1 year winner's bias resolution. Yeah. I will post every single time and whatever. But, yes. I forgot how we did it, so I looked at the picture and remind myself, and I enjoyed it. It was a fun game on top. I didn't like come out of it not liking it or like come out of it bored or feel like da, da, da. I remember telling me the rules, and it overwhelmed me a little, the rules of Food Chain Magnate, with like the planes you can have, the billboards, and like you have to pick Risey. There's another game where you like, if you've played it a couple of times, you know how to play it better than people who haven't.
Yeah.
But I still came away like still having fun. It wasn't my it wasn't my best.
Yeah. The thing about Food Chain Magnate and the company that makes it is Splatter. It's very unlike any of the games that we've played before. There's not like worker placement. There's like not a lot of mechanics in it that are familiar.
It reminded me a little bit of Lords of Vegas, but that might just be because of the squares. Lords of Vegas have squares, like.
Well, you put tiles on the board, and
yeah, the board is squares, isn't it? see, my memory's the worst. Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, a lot of people make fun of it because they think it looks cheap, and I disagree. I have thoughts, and I'm not going to get into them now.
I like the way it looked. I like that 1950s
style. And I think it looks clean by necessity because you're putting a whole bunch of stuff on these little white tiles or big white tiles, and if there was too much going on, then it would just become a mess of like colors and graphics and whatnot. But it, you know, you have a hand of cards, you're hiring people, and then you just have this hand of cards and you're picking who you're going to play that round to do stuff. And it's just like the whole way that it works is a little bit different than most things. And then one of the owners of Splatterspellin, one of the designers, said, like, if you can't lose on the first turn, why have a first turn? So their games tend to be pretty brutal, and you can absolutely make the wrong decision on the first turn. Now, we made sure that didn't happen with you.
Yeah, this was the first game that you were like, you should watch this video. You should definitely watch this video so we can get into playing the game quicker. So I watched like a 20-minute long video on how to play the game and like the rules and everything. So I did come prepared for this
one. Yeah.
And it was the first one I was prepared for, and I still sat down and felt overwhelmed.
Yeah, but that was more because we were going to be starting later than normal because I had come from the youth collective. So we weren't going to start until 8 o'clock instead of like 6:30.
No,
so I just want us to be able to jump into it earlier. So you were kind of mid on Food Chain Magnate, which actually I think is a huge win because that game's not for everybody. And first play is always going to be rough of that. I did get the win on that one, which I mostly felt good about because our friend Jordan is a shark at that game and always wins. And so I felt real, real good about it.
I think I was like second to last. I think I beat Andrea, played your wife.
Yeah.
I think I beat Andrea, and I think that was it.
Yeah, possibly.
I didn't beat Jordan. Yeah, it must be. Maybe.
All right.
Fine.
So let's move on. We'll go to Station Fall.
Station Fall.
What do you think of Station Fall? Let's describe Station Fall real quick. So
I think we did, didn't we?
We did a little bit. But it's, again, another unconventional game because there's, in our game, there was 14 characters out on the board. And we are one of them. But you can control all of those characters because you're secretly one of them, and they're all co-conspirators, or you can make them co-conspirators. So you could have control of any number of characters on the board and make them do anything. but then when you reveal yourself, people can no longer move you around. And so there's like a weird sort of dynamic of like,
yeah,
you can have someone go pick up a tool and then the next person can activate that person and say like, no, they're going to throw that tool down the hallway. And so you're really working at odds with each other.
Each person, like the person you are, has their own tasks and things they want to do before the station explodes.
Yeah, their own scoring goals. And yeah. Some people want to get off the ship. Some people want the ship to blow up. Some people want Project X, the mysterious Project X, to be released.
Some people want to be dead on the ship when it explodes, which doesn't make sense. But, you know.
Yeah. They just want to make sure other people. Anyway. So that's the sort of rough outline of Station Fall.
This was the game I was looking forward to the most because of how you were like saying it's very unconventional. This is very like, in the English term, it's a very Marmite game. You either love it or you hate it. It's very, you know, and like I was really looking forward to this game, and because like you said, it was like you could, it's like tells a story. Every game's different, and I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I felt like I would, but I still enjoyed playing it. I still had fun playing it. It was a little slow going at the beginning, not knowing what, because you could be any character. There was 12 characters, you said?
14, I think, in our game, because we played a 5.
So like you said, you could do anything with any character, and you're like, well, I don't know what I should do. I don't know how obvious I should make it, like who my secret character is.
Mm-hmm.
Which no one figured out until right at the end. I never showed my character. No one knew who it was. So I guess I did well. But yeah, I mean, I still enjoyed it for what it was.
Well, you wound up winning, right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, you get one more point than me.
One point than you, yeah. So yeah. So, I mean, it worked out.
Yeah, you did great. The problem with games like that, Station Fall and Cosmic Encounter, are they are high variability games. Like, the highs for those games are astronomical, but you can have games that absolutely fall flat and are just a slog to get through. And like, I kind of like that in a game. I think our game was actually pretty good,
I think
the next time you played, you would have a better idea of like how things interact. And there's like twice as many characters in the game that we played with, so you know it's going to be a highly variable situation. But yeah, one of my favorite things for that game was in one play that I had once, there's a pod, an escape pod you can get on, but it only releases if someone has been knocked out. And so we had a Three Stooges routine going on at the bottom of the spaceship where someone would drag the body of the knocked out person onto the pod, but they'd run out of action, so the next person would revive that person so that it wouldn't take off anymore. And then they had to go out and knock someone else out. No, it's just like this crazy Three Stooges bit going on. It was hilarious. And it's like, oh, you're always so frustrated with everyone because it like, well, I can't move anyone.
Were you worried that when I play this game that it might fall flat a little bit?
Like, a little bit, yeah. I mean, I tried I took out one of the Project X's that is a wormhole back to Earth. So if that gets released early, can make it everyone get back to Earth super easy. And then the game kind of peters out about halfway through because everyone's achieving their goals and there's nothing left to do. So I took that one out just to make sure that that wouldn't happen. But yeah, you know, any high variability game, gonna worry a little bit. So speaking of high variability, let's go on to Cosmic Encounter.
I loved Cosmic Encounter. Like I said, it was the last game we played from your list. And I loved it. It was so fun. There was so much above table conversation. Like you said, there was you make alliances, which make it sound like just in the game you make alliances, but you have to be like talking above the table and like trying to make alliances with people and trying to like work out teams in a weird way. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, and those alliances are constantly shifting because what you're doing in the game is you are all alien races with special game-breaking alien powers. And you have 5 planets and you've got ships and you're sending those ships to other planets to try to establish colonies on those planets. The first person or persons, you can have multiple winners, to get 5 colonies on 5 other systems wins the game. And so like the minute someone's on 4, you're like, well, I cannot ally with that person anymore because they will win if they come on this attack with me. And the attacks are done randomly. There's a destiny deck, so you're not targeting anyone. It's just like, I'm sorry, the card told me to come and get you.
Yeah.
And
the aspect of random, which I love so much.
Yeah. And you were having a rough start to the game, though.
Yeah, I was crashing hard. I didn't understand. I felt like I kept making terrible moves. I was still enjoying it because of the above table conversation. And like, but every move I made felt like terrible. People had to attack me a lot. So I was losing a lot. My people were disappearing a lot. I was making bad alliances. So I was losing people. But I was still loving it. So that's.
None of your alliances were as bad as the one that I kept going into, where our friend Tristan, I kept allying with him, helping him save his home planets, and then he turned on me, played a card that made me discard my entire hand, which I had collected like so many extra cards by helping him out, and he's like, no, your cards are all gone. And then he bit me in the butt again later in the game, and I was just like...
I need
to stop.
That alliance of me and him kind of...
I know. You guys won the game together.
Together, yeah. We kept making like...
Yeah, two negotiations and then a successful attack. And you guys ended the game so quickly after it had been so slow to develop. It's like, oh, they just took it all. It was a really good game. That's another one I was afraid might fall flat. And I'm glad it didn't. I'm glad that everyone got to use their alien power in some sort of effective way.
I mean, I feel like, especially, I think it also depends on the people you're playing with of how if it can fall flat or not. Because like, even if you like the game is short or fizzles out or is not the best game, if you're with the right people, I feel like that could still boost it up and still make it a fun game.
Yeah, the definition of a group-dependent game.
Yes.
All right, we're going into our last reset here. You are listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. If you're just tuning in, I'm Nate here with James, and this is Winner's Bias. We are celebrating our one-year anniversary of talking about board games on the radio, if you can believe it.
I know, and hopefully there's many, many more.
And James is rating Nate's fave games, and we got a few to get through before James gives us his list here and really tears things apart.
Rolling. Yeah.
So, all right, let's see. What do we got? We got Concordia and Barrage left, I think, and Blood on the Clock Tower, which we already know is James number one. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to talk about Clock Tower too much. So let's go with Concordia.
Concordia, you're worried about this because it's one of your, obviously it's one of your top 10, it's here.
Yeah.
And I feel like you think it's my bottom.
I think it is at the bottom.
I feel like it might be a little bit unfair because to me this was like the first word-for-word game, like hard game I played, or like for me, like head down game. This was the first one, so I came into it like enjoying all the rest, and I did this and it was like a huge, like, not bummer, but like a step down for me. So I was like, ugh. And it kind of took a lot out of me and a lot of stress. And it was just,
yeah, it was just there. It is like, you know, you're moving people and boats across a map and you're building trading posts and you're taking goods and you're turning them into the, like, you have to build a cloth trading post, so you need to spend cloth and brick, and you gotta, to get more people on the board, you have to spend like iron and hay and whatnot. And but you did a great job.
I mean, yeah, I had to change the way I was playing, like,
you like pivoted.
I pivoted, and then I worked out the better way to get points, and I just did that. But then that's what it was for me. It's like, well, I guess I'll just do this and just putter around until I can do this.
Yeah,
and like I feel like I blamed you a lot before by being like, everyone was like concentrating on what move they're gonna make, so there wasn't much conversation. But I think it was me that I was so busy concentrating on what move I was gonna make that I wasn't like playing above the table, and that's what might have ruined.
Yeah,
it,
you were absorbed in the puzzle.
Yeah, which I was like, which I don't want. I want to be some puzzle, but yeah. Like, not so much that I'd be like, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's interesting. That's very interesting to be like. I've successfully challenged my brain. I figured out the winning path, and I successfully completed that journey, won the game, and I was unsatisfied with it because that's not the sort of time I wanted to spend with my friends, with the game. And that's a really interesting perspective. I actually don't think I've really heard expressed before.
Which is two different board game players.
Yeah.
You play to beat everyone. I play to have fun.
I don't play to beat everyone. That is a lie. You know it. I am often helping people do... This sounds awful. I'm often helping people play the game better.
Yeah.
But especially new people new to the games, like pointing out things like, I don't care about winning. I want to win, because I think like having the competitive spirit helps everybody's game go better. But I definitely don't feel like I need to win every game. Now, there are certain people who I prefer to beat. I will leave them nameless, but
Andrea.
But I, you know, prefer winning against those certain people. But you know, it doesn't ruin my life losing. I'm not a hyper competitive person.
Don't lose sleep over it.
I don't lose sleep
not
over
even
it.
A little bit.
No, not even a little bit. No. I have lost sleep just thinking about games before, just being like, oh, it's so good. And I just can't get my brain to turn off about how
just on that high of just playing the game.
All right. So, Barrage.
Barrage. I felt like there's a lot going on. It's like you said, it's just a game of making dams and controlling water, which makes it sound simple. But when you're playing it, there's a lot going on. And there's lots of ways you can mess with your other people playing it. And I felt like I was confused all the way through. No matter how, like, even like near the end, I was still being like, I'll put this thing here. And you're like, well, don't do that because that doesn't make any sense because of this. And I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot the water travels this way and not this way.
Yeah.
It's just a lot going on in that game. I did enjoy the gear aspect. I enjoyed that random little gear thing that means you can only do things at a certain time. You've got to wait for your...
Yeah, so when you're building infrastructure on the board, there's a six-wedged gear that you put machinery into, and you don't have access to the machinery till it rotates the whole way around and you get it back. And it's a really, really cool dynamic, and it makes it really hard to sort of plan some of your turns out.
I feel so. Yeah, I feel like I like random dynamics in games like that.
Yeah,
it's just this. It's like similar to the other games, but there's just something that pushes it up. Like, oh, Grande with the tower, that with the gear. Maybe that's why I didn't like Concordia or Hansa Tectonica so much, because there's nothing there.
Now, when you you did well though. You've played a pretty good game.
I think I played
for your first time.
I feel like you and Brian were helping me a lot. There was only us three playing, so it was a very lighthearted game.
And we played on the bigger map, too.
Yeah.
So there was more space. Now, the first time I ever played that game, I played with four people. I scored 46 points, and the winning score was, I think, 164 points.
Did you lose? Was 46 was like the lowest?
I lost by a lot. And the whole time I was losing, I was like, this is incredible. I want to learn how to do what he's doing, because... this is amazing. I was totally enamored with the mechanics of it all. And the second time I played, someone scored, I think, 12 points. You start with 10. Oh. No, it wasn't me. But you start with 10 points and they scored 12. It can be absolutely brutal. If you cannot keep that wheel spinning, it can be totally brutal. All right. So we are coming up on the end of the show here.
Yes.
So we need to, just a quick reminder, my number 10, Food Chain Magnate, 9, El Grande, 8, Skull King, 7, Nana, 6, Station Fall, 5, Concordia, 4, Cosmic Encounter, 3, Hansa Teutonica, 2, Barrage, 1, Blood on the Clock Tower. James, where are you fitting on this?
Before I quickly run them through, I just want to say how I rated them. My aspects was how much fun I had playing them, how stressed I was, the above table conversation, and would I request to play the game again, which I haven't for any of them, but would I?
That's true, and that's a question I forgot to ask you about, like, not, you've only played games once.
Yeah.
You haven't gotten to dive
so
in.
So the top ones I would request to play in the game. So, starting at number 10, drum roll please, Hansa Tectonica.
Oh my.
Did not, that's not even the way how you say it.
No, it sounds like a game about earthquakes when you pronounce it that way.
Teutonica, well, I didn't like it.
Hansa Tectonica.
I was not a fan, I do not want to play it again.
That's incredible to me. I'm staggered. I'm hit. You've stunned me.
Number 9, Concordia. It was a fine game. It's just, you know, it's just you're just word for word. You're just cartoon around. Number 8, Barrage, because I was confused all the way and I was like, I didn't know what I was doing.
I took a great picture of you during that game with your hand
and
your head in your hand, just like staring at the board. And that was at the very beginning. Just like
number 7, Food Chain Magnate.
Okay.
Number 6, El Grande, because I don't know why I enjoyed El Grande a lot. I just really enjoyed El Grande.
So is like number 6, El Grande, is that where you sort of pivot from being like to like,
yes,
okay, these are games I like.
El Grande I would play again. Like everything from El Grande up, I would play El Grande again and up And then, yeah, and then request them again.
Yeah.
The bottom four, I would be like, I would play them again with you, but I wouldn't be like...
Yeah, and it's interesting. They're like, the three heaviest games are in that list too. Food Chain, Concordia, and Barrage are the three heaviest games of them all too.
Number five, Station Fall. It was a fun game. I would like to try it again and see how, now that I played it once, I would like see how different I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
I still enjoyed coming out of it. Number four, Nana. It's just a fun, simple game. There's not much you can say about it. It's just I had fun time playing it. Number three, Skull King. I really enjoyed that one to the point where we played Mythical Dice, which is like a dice version.
Yeah.
And I bought that game myself.
Oh, you did buy it?
I did, yes.
Oh, fantastic. Really
enjoyed that. Number two, Cosmic Encounter, because I just had so much fun playing that game. It was just a great time. I would play it multiple times again. I would love to, there's hundreds and hundreds of aliens, and I'd love to try them again, like different aliens. Number one, Blood on the Clock Tower. Been doing it for 3 years. I must enjoy it. I love it. It's a
although
fun
you
time.
Played your first game this year,
for this
last
year.
Month.
Yeah.
So you were talking about playing things again.
Mm.
What, like, I ask you periodically if you do want to play a different game or the same game for James Games, and we haven't yet. Do you feel like you are not getting the experience with games by not playing them again, or are you like, do you like playing a new one every time?
I enjoy playing new ones every time. I like surprises. I like new things. So I like to just play new games and try things. But now, because of this past year, I've figured out what I like. I might be more willing to be like, well, I like this kind of game. I would rather play this game again or this kind of game more.
Yeah, and interestingly, of the, like, the four games that you're like, I wouldn't want to play this again, I probably wouldn't ask you to play Food Chain, Concordia, or Barrage again.
You want me to play Hands of Tectonic?
I'm not going to ask you to play it, but like of those, I would have been like, that's the one that seems like it would fit most squarely because it's a pretty easy teach and it plays pretty quickly.
I mean, it's not a hard game to play or a hard game to learn. I was just kind of just with it. Like everyone, like I said, everyone knew what they were doing. I didn't. So I felt like I had this huge drawback and I was just kind of just hoping for the best.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated. I'm thrilled that you bought Mythical Dice. My in-laws, we introduced Mythical Dice, yeah. Which is basically a dice trick-taking game, except you're making your bids on the tricks you're going to take before you know what your dice roll is.
Yeah.
So
a new thing.
Yeah, each of the dice has like a crapshoot thing where it's just like, oh, I'm going to win 4 out of 6 sides of this die. And James kept getting... got winning
time.
Tricks by rolling a 1 pip value and everyone else had rolled flags or
and I still loved it. I lost terribly. I lost and I loved it.
It was so funny.
It was so fun.
All right, so we made it. And we didn't get any phone calls, but that's okay. We had Golden jump in here, so thank you so much
for
that.
Thank you, Golden.
And thank you all for listening to Winner's Bias. If you would like to comment on the show, have any questions, or suggest discussion topics, you can email us at winnersbias@kbu.org. And you can find us on Instagram at Winner's Bias. James,
they
can find us on Instagram at Winner's Bias. I'm Nate.
And I'm James. It's not about the And remember, it's not about the games you play, but how you rate your mates' top games. Have a good one.
Keep our minds on the game.
All the games.
Games people play now.
Do you think that we could play another game?
You play silly games like that.
Game.
Fun and game.
Game.
Playing games,
it's all fun and games.
this game.